Praise the Lord. Clap your hands and give God some praise in this house if you would. Praise God. Praise God for what he's done. Praise God for what he's yet to do. We just appreciate God. Thank you. Praise God. Thank God for our, praise God, friends who are in the house, our visitors, and each and every. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for everybody. Praise God. We have, I won't go through everybody's name. We got saints in here from Kokomo all the way. Let's give them a hand, though. The body of Christ from Kokomo. We do have a special service we're going to do today, ordination. Then we have a special guest all the way from St. Louis, Missouri. Hallelujah. When I first saw her, I can't half see with folks' mask off, but I sure can't see when they're on. So we shook hands, and she said, "You don't know who I am." I said, "Maybe I don't." Then she told me, I said, "Oh, my God." So I thank God, praise God, for just what God is doing. He's such an awesome God. He's doing many, 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 many great things. And I'm honored for that. Thank God for getting our pastors away today. I had to speak in Dayton, Ohio today. So kind of miss him today. But I thank God again for each and every one of you that are here. Praise God. Look like, praise God, besides the crowd, somebody must have heard that he was going to be gone. I don't know. But anyway, let's pray. Let's pray. Praise God. I think I had some notes I thought up here. Maybe I'll push them someplace else. Glory to God. But anyway, let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we honor you, God, for this day that you have made. Thankful and grateful, God, for each and everything, God, that you have done. Again, God, for all that you're doing and all that you're yet to do. God, we praise you for your love for each one of us, God. Thank you for the glory of God. Thank you for the very presence of God. Thank you, Lord, for being our provider, our protector, God. All that you are to each one of us, God. It's because of you, God, that we move, God, and that we have our beings, God. Without you, God, we are nothing. Thank you so much for awakening us, God, to the righteousness that you put within us, God, when you put your spirit inside of us, God. And then you call that spirit, oh God, to come aware, to come alert, God, to righteousness, God, that belongs to us as your sons and your daughters, God. Thankful, God, for deliverance, God, from the conscience of sin, God, making us aware, oh God, in Jesus' name, oh God, of this beautiful life that we call a life of Christianity, God, a life of salvation, God, a life of deliverance, God, a life, oh God, of loving and living, praise God, and enjoying everything, oh God, that you have made in this earthen realm, God. When we look, oh God, at the sun, the moon, the stars, God, and everything, God, the vegetation, the flowers, God, even those animals, God, in Jesus' name, the insects, the bees, God, hallelujah, and the flying fowl, God, each and everything you have done, God, you have created. And you said that we, oh God, were the culmination of your creation, God, mankind. And thank you, oh God, for making us and breathing into us, oh God, the breath of life, and we became living souls. Now we ask God to help us, oh God, to move forward, God, so that we can actualize everything, God, that you have put within us, God. The blessings of God, let them all come forth in our life in the name of Jesus. And we thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. All right, praise God. The thing I wanted to focus on today is, I've been dealing with love. And that's been for the last few really times I've spoke. Praise God. I just want to make a point of love again. You know, there are four Greek terms for love, you know, in the English language. They're not like the Greek. The Greeks have several things, praise God, that relate to what we, in our English language, is just one thing. Praise God. So The four terms for love, praise God, I'll start with the lowest order, which is eros, which we get the word erotic, praise God, and that's, you know, the love that's dealt with humanity coming together, praise God, having intimacy. Then we have what he calls storge. Storge is family love, praise God, and that comes from our siblings' connection to each other. Then we have filial, which is the love that is like community, praise God, it's brotherly love. And then finally, agape. Agape is the highest order of love, and that comes directly from God himself. And the greatest thing about the agape love, it is unconditional. You don't have to do anything to receive it. It's just there. You don't have to be a part of any special group to get it. Praise God, it's just there because God provides it for you. He loved us so much, the Bible said he gave his only begotten son. And he gave his son so that you and I could have an understanding, a comprehension, an awareness what it really means to be loved. So we're going to talk about the power of love today. Praise God. I've got 7 points, and I don't think I'll be long in dealing with either one of those. And we do have a special service as well, ordination service today. So we're not going to be before you long. So the power, somebody say the power of love. One more time. The power of love. One last time. The power of love. You know, Andre dealt with, I think it was last week or week before, praise God, about that word power. So we want to put up those definitions or the synonyms of power, praise God. And Sister Mitchell, would you read that for us, please, honey?
Control, authority, influence, dominance, mastery, domination, rule, command, ascendancy, supremacy, dominion, sovereignty, jurisdiction, sway, weight, leverage, hold, grasp.
All right. All those are synonyms of power. That's what power represents. And so when we speak of the power of love, we're speaking of control. We're speaking of the weight. We're speaking of all those things, and I'm not going to go through all that. Praise God. But those things represent the power, or the word power, praise God. When we speak of love, that's what love is. There's power within love. It gives us the ability to look past anything, praise God, that would divide, that will cause us not to understand who we really are. Praise God, you know, the enemy, his design, his desire is to divide us. Because when you're divided, then you're not able, praise God, to come together and be as strong as you're capable of being. When you're divided, praise God, there is, praise God, something within you that never gets the opportunity to flow out of you correctly because there's so much division. But God is trying to get us to a position and a place where this love, praise God, that he's given us, praise God, comes in such a way that we don't let anything block it. Nothing stop it. Nothing, praise God, calls us not to operate in the full counsel of his love. All right, now I'm going to go to about 7 different scriptures today. Praise God. The first one is the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Praise God. I'm going to the very last verse of that chapter. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 31. And they had it up for a moment. But it's about the more excellent way. The more excellent way. And let me give you a background of this chapter. We're not going through all those verses. But in that chapter, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about all the things, praise God, that the Spirit, praise God, brings with it as gifts. You know, a lot of times we lift the gifts up. Praise God, nothing wrong with the gifts. They're very important, but they're not the most important. There is a more excellent way. So at the end of that chapter, it says that. Just read that verse for me, Sister Mitchell, if you would.
But covet earnestly
Covet earnestly. Go after the best gifts. Uh-huh. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. All right, let's go to the next book we're going to go to. And that's 1 Corinthians, again, it's 13th chapter. And this is called the love chapter. I'm not going to go through all the verses there either. Praise God. But it tells us, praise God, how love operates and how it doesn't operate. There's certain things that talk about love doesn't do this. And then love does that. So it's important that you get into that Bible, praise God. Read those scriptures again. I think, you know, we kind of spoil people, praise God. When I grew up in church, you know, they had us in church all day long. But we learned something. If they made us stay. You know, we didn't have a children's church. We had a church. And if you was a child, you know, you might fall asleep, praise God, while you're in church, but some of that stuff got in your spirit, praise God, because they didn't let you go anywhere else. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have children's church, praise God, but I'm just making a point, praise God, how important it is, praise God, for us, praise God, to pursue this thing, because now we kind of make it easy for you. We put the scriptures up on the screen so you don't have to, you know, get your Bible and search it out. Praise God. It used to be we would call a scripture and everybody would be flipping through the Bible trying to find the scriptures. Then they would read it with us. We don't do that anymore. Kind of make it more easy for you, praise God, so that you don't have to go through all those things to get to the verses. Praise God. But yeah, I'm kind of old school. Y'all don't mind me being myself today, do you? Well, I'm glad you don't mind because I was going to do that anyway. I really don't know how to be anybody else. All right. So what God is trying to get us to see how important it is, even though we're not pushing you, praise God, we're not giving you, praise God, things so much like when I grew up, how you had to have your Bible with, et cetera, et cetera. We're trying to make it easier for you. But the point is, praise God, you've got to dig. You're going to have to dig on your own. Praise God. You're going to have to really take some time to get in this word if you're going to be able to let this word, praise God, work in your life properly so you can get the full benefit of God's word. So again, back to the 13th chapter, praise God, it tells us in the beginning of that chapter what love isn't. Then it tells us later on in the chapter what love is. Then we come to the conclusion of that chapter, praise God, and we talk about what is the most important thing. There are three things that abide, but there's one thing more important than all. And before we actually get to the scripture, I want to say something else. Praise God, the things, praise God, that it talks about, all those things are dynamic. I mean, to have faith to be able to move mountains, that's dynamic. Praise God, to be able to comprehend and understand all mysteries, that's dynamic. Oh, that's so powerful. But he says, that's not the most important. I mean, you know, and I love gifts of the Spirit, and I love to see the operation of the Spirit, you know, in Pentecostal circles, praise God. We believe in the gifts. We believe in the speaking of tongues and the interpretation of tongues and prophecies and et cetera, et cetera. And all those are wonderful things. But he says that's not the most important. Praise God. There's something more important than that. Praise God. And those who are Pentecostal, you know, everybody, we got so many labels, you know. I tell folk, I'm a Methodist, Pentecostal, Costa Episcopalian. I'm just all those things. And so the point is, and my point is, let us throw down these things that divide us. Amen. That I think my denomination is better than your denomination because I preach on certain things that you don't preach on. Guess what? God's not concerned about any of those things. He said all this stuff is coming to an end. But there's one thing that will last forever. There's one thing that will always be there. Okay, let's go to that scripture then, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. There's faith that abides and stays. Hope is there.
Charity.
Uh-huh. And that word charity is simply love, but it's love in action. Now, that's the King James Version. Most other versions just say love. But I like that King James Version because it says charity, which it means love in action. It means not just love dormant, praise God. You tell me that you love me and I need a sandwich, and you say, I hope you get something to eat later on. Well, how about take me to McDonald's or somewhere? You know, or got any bologna? You know, something. But if you ignore me, that shows me your love is not really flowing in you properly. So he says, all these things are important. Again, we don't want to knock into those things. Even back in the 12th chapter, all those different gifts of the Spirit, those things are important, but they're not as important as love. So we have to focus on that, the power of love. All right, we're going to go to our third scripture now. That is in Jeremiah. I think it's the one I want. Yeah, go to Jeremiah 31:3. All right, Sister Mitchell, would you read that for us? Uh-huh. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, a love that has no end to it. And since I love you that way, therefore, with love and kindness, what have I done? I have drawn thee. Now that, the connotation of that is simply like me getting a lasso and throwing it out and pulling you by the neck and just pulling you, pulling you, pulling you, pulling you. So by loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, people are not moved by just what you say. They're moved by what you do. The effort that you make, praise God, to show them that you care. It's not so much they're interested, praise God, in what you say. They're interested in your action behind what you say. Will you help me when I need help? Now, to help somebody when they need help doesn't always mean giving them something that is in a financial way or another kind of way. Many times you have to help people by letting them know, praise God, how to deal with what they have. Sometimes folk are wanting you just to give money. The guy asked a person one day, said, have you got $20? And the guy said, yes, I do. And I got sense with it. So in other words, I'm not giving you a 20 because I know what you're going to try to do. But what I'll do, I will help you to understand how to manage what you do have. Now, you know, I got to hit a couple of rabbit trails. And so I'm getting ready. I got my gun out. So I'm on the rabbit trail right now. Praise God. And I won't go into all the details of this, but a young man, I met this young man several years ago, been over 20-some-odd years ago, praise God. And when I met him, the fellow was drunk. He came to our church. He was drunk. Praise God. Somebody told me, someone was across the street, and we had a basement. Somebody said, somebody in your basement want to meet you. I said, well, who is it? We don't know. So I go down to see who the guy was. So when I get down there, praise God, he tells me, I want something to eat. I said, well, who are you? Then he told me his name. He said, well, I want something to eat. I said, okay, look, I got to drop some people off from church, and you can ride with me, and then I'll go get you something to eat. So we did that. Praise God. So I go to Burger King. Burger King was one of the restaurants that stayed open late. So I go there, and when I get there, I said, what do you want? He said, it don't matter. I said, well, this guy really is hungry. So most of the time you get a guy, they tell him, well, I can't eat cheese, and I can't eat crackers, and I can't. Hungry people don't go through that. So I realized he really was hungry, so I got him something to eat and got myself something to eat. Talked to him and found out a little more about him, and I decided I had some money in my pocket, so I gave him $5. And then I thought we had a hotel that we used at that time when preachers would come in and they would, you know, stay, and we had a direct bill with the hotel. I thought maybe I can put him up a couple of nights to kind of get him off the street. So I asked him, I said, do you need a place? He said, oh, no, you done enough for me. And I thought, this guy really is sincere. And then as we kept riding, he said, just take me down what used to be right behind us. We call it the low end. Praise God, all that's been changed, but that was all projects and clubs and all kinds of stuff in that, back in that direction. And so he said, just take me to the low end. So on my way there, praise God, I mentioned the hotel to him. He said, no, you done enough. He said, you can give me some more money. I said, no, I'll give you all the money I'm going to give you. $5 is all you're going to get tonight. So anyway, but when I get to the low end, this was amazing to me. I always think about it from time to time. When I get there and let him out of my van, God spoke to me, not audibly, but in my spirit. It was so plain. He said, there's more love out here than there is in many of the churches because somebody will take him in. I said, oh, my God. What an indictment to the church. He didn't say all churches. He said, but many of the churches, they're in the streets, praise God. They're not afraid of folk, praise God, because they're all crazy. You know, I'm not all crazy. I'm just making a statement there. But seriously, they're not afraid. The Bible said perfect love casts out fear. When you get to a place that you love folk enough, you're not afraid of them. Praise God, you'll help them. And the Lord will let you know how to deal with that person. All right, anyway, so when that happened, I don't know how many months, but it was several months that passed by, praise God. And then he ends up in my house about 2 o'clock in the morning. I had fallen asleep back watching TV, praise God. That particular night, you know, I watched The Golden Girls a lot, but I wasn't watching any of them all that night. I wasn't watching Frasier. I actually was watching a Christian network. And so when he comes, you know how when you sleep, you can feel somebody standing over you? I said, ooh. I looked up, and he's standing over me. He says, I want to be saved. I said, woo. How'd you get in here? That's the first thing that came to my mind. How did you get here? Then he told me the story. Now, again, this is probably at least eight, might even been a year from the time we initially met. But I had seen him from time to time during that year's time. And he actually came to church a couple times. One time he came so drunk, he told me to stop preaching. I was teaching Bible study. He's going to take the mic over. I said, no, you sit down over there. You know, I'm doing the preaching right now. And so when I started, then he popped up and went to another seat. Again, we was across the street at the time. He pops up and goes to another seat. And then he said, well, just pray for me. So I went back to lay hands on him and pray. Don't put your hand on me. I said, well, I don't have to put my hand on you to pray. I started praying. He bolts up out of the seat and walks out the door. And I told the saints, I said, let's point at him and claim him for God. And we did that. Anyway, again, how many months I don't know for sure, but eventually, that particular night when he comes and he tells me he wants to be saved, but I'm trying to figure out how you get in my house. Then he tells me the story. He told me he went to a club that night, but he got kicked out the club because people didn't want him there because he was an obnoxious drunk. He was a guy that was drunk and he would want to make you give him more money so he can get more wine. But he got put out of this club. He said once he got put out of the club, He said he went somewhere and these leaves start rustling all by themselves. And he said God spoke to him and told him to come to my house. So he said that he forgot actually where I lived at. He went to the wrong house and they ran him off the porch. Then he gets to our house. Now, my wife's a real light sleeper. She can hear rats using the restroom on cotton. But for somehow, she didn't hear it. Him knocking at the door. And our bedroom was right next to the front door. And again, I was back in the family room. He said he came when he finally realized where our house was. He came, he said he knocked. Nobody responded. Then he said he pushed the bell, the doorbell. He could hear the doorbell ringing, but nobody responded. And each time he went off the porch, he said, but God told him he couldn't leave. He said the third time, he said, well, God, if it's you, let the door open. So he said he pulled the door and it opened. And that's when he came back to where I was at. So again, I end up praying for him. Still a little leery. You know, I wasn't full of faith. A little leery. Wasn't scared of him per se, but this story seems kind of odd. But I pray. And then we sit down and watch the rest of that Christian program. And in that program, the guy was preaching about things you got to do. And he had the third thing was be determined. And he sat there and said, that's what I got to be. I got to be determined. And it was that point that I thought, this guy's really sincere. So we was having a service that night. And I said, well, look, if you be at church tonight. This one was having on Friday night. I said, be at church tonight. So he promised me he would. I came to the house of God. We started at 7. Praise God. I get there just before 7. He was already there in the vestibule because the door wasn't open yet. I said, well, this guy's sincere. Anyway, long story short, the Lord let me know he could not go back in the environment that he came from and be successful. So what did I do? Well, let's look, see if we can put him in somebody's house. Let's see if we can do this for him. Let's see if we can get him at the mission. No. God told me to open my door to him. Now, every time I tell this story, I have to apologize to my wife. Because I didn't tell her. I was bringing somebody to the house. I just brought him to the house. Thank God for a good wife. We'll be married 47 years pretty soon. Glory to God. It liked to end it right there, but it didn't. And she loved me, treated him great. Praise God. He loved us. Praise God. And God, say he's still saved today. Praise God, over 20-some-odd years later. But that was love in action. I loved him, praise God, and then I had to put some action behind the love to let him know. Now, people say, my daughter, I have four children. I have, how many, 7 or 8 grandchildren now, I can't remember. Praise God, but I had seven. I had three boys and a girl. All of them were in their teens, except for the younger two. So I got a teenage daughter. She's the oldest of all. And somebody said, well, aren't you scared to have this guy with his bad reputation in your house with your daughter? I said, no, I'm not scared. Why aren't you scared? Because I'll beat him up. You're saved? Yes, I'm saved. And I'm going to ask God to let my fingers and my hand do what I can do to make sure he don't do anything in this house that's not going to be nice. Amen. Now, again, some of y'all, you're much more spiritual than I, and you would never even think that. I'm just being honest with you. I'd have took a, praise God, a poker or whatever I had to do. Praise God, people. But he was a perfect gentleman. I never had any issue with him at all. Praise God. And God did that. I'm talking about love in action. Am I recommending that for you? No, I'm not. I'm telling you, though. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, love. There's power in love. When you operate in God's love, you can see the demonstration of God. This guy has such a bad reputation in the city. Praise God. He had been to prison several times. I didn't even know that when I first met him. It was about 2 years before he even gave his full testimony. He got up one Sunday and said, I need to testify. And he told the church, he said, I got kicked out of kindergarten. Why? Because he was drunk. His mother drank. His dad had left them. His mother would leave her the bottles, you know, with the caps off, and he said he would just go behind drinking, drink. So he goes to school, kindergarten, drunk. So it's a wonder he was able to make any kind of sense of life. But guess what? When a man or woman meets God, and they meet the love of God, what does it do? It changes them. It causes them to see things totally different. I have a friend, praise God, at the time, he's passed on now, but he was one of the probation officers in the city. And he told me, he said, Royce, I don't know what you did with him. How did you change him? We had problems with him all the time. Again, he had been in prison 2 or 3 different times. Praise God. But what happened? He met love. And he met love in action. And there's power in love. You, first of all, you got to learn how to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then understand how to love others like you love yourself. Why do you need to love God first? Because you won't love yourself properly until you love God first. When you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will not have the idea you're the greatest thing going. You will recognize and realize, praise God, you need to continue to humble yourself, be thankful that God even takes up time with you. You'll love yourself properly, and then you can love your neighbor as yourself. All right, I stayed on the rabbit trail longer than I intended, so I'm going to cut some of this a little shorter, praise God. But let's go to at least a couple more scriptures, praise God. He said, but loving kindness have I drawn thee. And again, that's what God wants. He wants us to love folk, praise God. We can pull them in, love them. So it's not like you're really just dragging folk, praise God, or you going out there telling them how bad they are. No, just go out there with the love of God. And the love of God will bring them in. They will be compelled, praise God, because they feel something they haven't felt, praise God. This brother felt something he hadn't felt, praise God, when I loved him unconditionally. And again, we would see each other from time to time. Again, I'm estimating maybe a year or so, praise God. But God continued to work on him, work on him, work on him. And then you would think, praise God, you got kicked out of a club. You got kicked out where everybody's drinking and partying, and they don't even want you there. But God said, it's time for you to come in. It's time for you to really experience love. All right, let me get back in. All right, I'm about done, I think. All right. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5.
For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
So, our faith cannot really operate correctly without love. That's why love is so important. Even our faith won't work properly without love being at the center of it. So it's so important that we see the power of love, because the power of love allows our faith to operate like it's supposed to. If you don't have love, your faith will not work. Okay? That's why love is so important. All right. Let's go to the next scripture, praise God, which is John 3:14.
We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
All right. We pass from what? Death unto life. How do we do that? Because we love the brother. See, death, praise God, is the carnal realm. Praise God. And in the realm of the carnal, you abide in death. Praise God. Death has a grip on you, praise God. You're conscious of death. You're aware of death. You're constantly, praise God, being bombarded with death. In other words, death means separation. Separation from God. When a person dies, praise God, there's a separation that happens. Praise God, his spirit and his soul separates from the body. Praise God. The soul is the seat of our emotions, our will, our intellect. Praise God. And that separates from the body. The spirit is what gives it life. And that separates from the body. The spirit goes back to be with God. Praise God. But the soul goes to be in a permanent residence. Praise God. Whether it be heaven or whether it be hell. Praise God. We don't talk about hell a lot. Praise God. And it's not that it's unimportant. Praise God. But we usually, most, when I say we, I'm talking about the church per se in this larger, praise God, scope. Most of the time we're talking about the precious things of God, the blessing of God, and God's going to do this for and do that for. All that's good. Praise God. But there is a hell. There is a hell. Praise God. And we do not want you to go there. Praise God. You can escape hell. Praise God. You don't have to go to hell. The prices have already been paid, so you don't have to go there. Praise God. So why would you go to hell when the price has been paid? I give this analogy all the time. Why would I go to the Motel 2.5 if they have paid for me to go to the Hyatt Regency and get a suite? Praise God. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, so I just want to take you out. I want to take you somewhere. Would you? She got really excited. She said, yes, baby. I said, I'm going to take you to a suite. She said, that sounds good. I said, let's go to the Muncie Inn. Then things weren't so sweet after that. But on a serious note, praise God, if the price has already been paid, why not get everything that it entails? Praise God. There's a lady by the name of Donna Rigney. I've been listening to her. I first heard her on Sid Roth, and then I got some CDs, praise God, that she had. And she was telling me how God had taken her, actually to it, she meant both heaven and hell. She said, but God took her to heaven. Say, in heaven, there was a place called the Hall of Miracles. So she said as she was going through the Hall of Miracles, she's seen all kinds of, she's seen cars, she's seen houses, she's seen all kinds of stuff. And when I was listening to her say, I said, what's a car doing in heaven? It looked like an odd place for a car to be. But then as she continued to talk, she said, she asked God, but what is this? She said, God told her, it's what I have for my people, but someone won't access it. It's there. I want to give it to them. I got it here for them, but they won't access it. So how do you access it? You access it by operating in his love. Then you access it by understanding that it is something God wants to give to you. He wants you to have the blessing of God. He said he wants you to be rich and add no sorrow with the richness. He wants you to be wealthy, praise God, but not just wealthy in the sense, praise God, of monetary wealth, but he wants you, praise God, to have a wealth that comes straight from the throne of God. Everything that God wants you to have, praise God, he wants you to have. He paid the price so that you could have it, praise God. So there might be something, praise God, in the hall of miracles that belongs to you. How do you receive it? Operating by love and declaring and decreeing and calling that thing, praise God, into the earthen realm so that you can have what God wants you to have. Oftentimes, praise God, we miss out on things that God has paid a price for. Again, I think it's a tragedy if he's paid the price, praise God, and you come short of what he paid for you to have. All right, we're about ready to close here. Praise God. Where am I at now? Oh, yeah, Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Glory to God. And we're going to read verses 2 and 3.
With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Forbearing one another in love. Operating in a spirit of meekness. That word forbear means basically to put up with. You know, there's some folk you just have to put up with. You know, but you need to do it in love. The reason George and I have been married as long as we put up with each other. You see, I get the greatest amens from her. I mean, she will just blast it out. All right, but it's true. I love you too, darling. We won't start a romance right here, right now, but it's the thing that God have helped us with. We've learned how to put up with each other. Now, here's what I do that she can't stand. There's some things that she does that I can't stand. And they're real simple things. My wife turns lights on in the house. I pay the light bill. She turns lights on. Somebody say, nothing wrong with turning a light on. Not a thing. But how about using that same switch to cut the light off? But she comes out of wherever she's at, the light's still on. Brian, I used to get so upset. I would say, why don't you turn the light off? You're out of there now. Cut the light off. That starts the argument. You know. Then she said, you need to get your clothes up off the floor. She's telling me that she said, you think it's cute when you tell people when they come to your house just move the clothes over and sit down. She said, well, I don't think that's so cute. I'm just trying to let the folk know when you come to my house, you might find clothes in the chair if you don't come to my house. Praise God, I want you to know before you get there. Not where, you know, basically my wife is in the area where I hang out at. It's called the family room. It's my little den, praise God. And I just, you know, if I take a sock off, it's going to go that way. I'll pick it up later on, maybe a couple of days later or whatever. I'll get to it, but she doesn't like it to stay there that long. She comes through the house just angry with me because they're down there. But guess what we learned how to do? She has gotten where she doesn't scream and holler at me about it, for the most part. And I got where I don't scream and holler about the lights. I just go, and here's what I've learned how to do, Allah. I go and cut the light off, and I come out, I say, honey, I know you didn't mean to leave the light on there in the bathroom. I know you just forgot, sweetheart. But I don't want you to worry about it because I cut it off behind you. So when she does, she'll pick up my clothes, say, darling, you know, you left your pants on the floor again. Well, you know, I've got to sweep in there, darling. But I got them up and I swept. I appreciate you if you pick them up sometime. So, you know, we learn how to still be mad about the same things, but how not to go off on each other. Important. Learn how to live with each other. Guess what? I'm not going to get another wife like this woman. Somebody gave me a wife last night. What do you mean? Well, we was out to this little fair, and the lady was sitting. I won't mention who it was, but she's in the house today. But I won't call who she is. But anyway, a guy who had been to our church a couple of times, he said, isn't this your wife? I said, oh, no. She said, well, I'm his mother. She meant mother of the church. Oh. See, I was trying to hide it for her. But they just gave me her for a wife. I said, no, that's my wife over here. Praise God. But anyway, I don't want another wife. I appreciate the wife I have. It's been hard enough for us to get along. Do you think I want to go over this again? No, thank you. Glory to God. But anyway, my point being, on a serious note, praise God, that you learn how to get alone. You know, start off early. If you're young and man, start off early getting along, because your wife or your husband is not going to do everything you want them to do. Don't let it get you to a point of frustration. Amen. Understand how to let it go. Look at it in an opposite way where the devil's trying to make you feel about it. Amen. Praise God. Because all the devil's trying to do is get you upset. So you argue about nothing. George and I, in the time we've been married, we've been so mad. And when we get through the madness, praise God, and we get through the anger, we don't even know what we're mad about. How do we get so mad? What happened? Well, you're through, because it really wasn't anything that important. The enemy was trying to use something, praise God, to get you off kilter. Praise God. But God wants us to understand this love principle is the greatest thing that you and I could ever experience. Praise God. It gets us from point A to point Z. We don't just go from A to B. We go all the way to Z, because this thing will get us to the full kilter. All right, the last scripture. Let's go to, praise God, the book of Galatians 5:22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
Glory to God. Read that again.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
I think there's another one in there, temperance. It's the next verse. Okay, 23rd verse that says temperance. Anyway, though there are nine manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. But if you note, the very first one is love. The most important one of the nine manifestations. By the way, it didn't say fruits. It says fruit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit, what comes forth from the Spirit. When you have God's Spirit in you, these things will manifest through the Spirit of God. The first thing is love. And when you learn how to love properly, you'll enjoy this walk with God. Now, you're going to have challenges. I don't want to make anybody ever think getting saved, it's like everything's hunky-dory, nothing's going to happen negative. All you got to do is speak, and it's going to happen. Praise God. It's not like magic. It's not like, praise God, it's not like bewitching, pushing the nose. Praise God. It's not that. Praise God. It's processing. But the thing about it, God wants you to be aware that you have this within you. When you receive the Spirit of God, you have love working in you. Learn how to allow it to work forth out of you. Because through the power of love, you'll be able to handle everything that comes your way. You'll be able to control things. You'll be able to deal with things. The only reason, praise God, Job was able to deal with what he had to deal with was because he had such a love for God. When he, praise God, was in the challenges that he was in, even when God spoke to the enemy, praise God, and when the enemy's coming, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm up walking around. No, I'm checking out who I can devour. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, but I know what's happening with Job. You've given him everything, and that's why he's worshiping you. He said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll let you take everything he's got, but you can't touch him. So then that day, he loses everything. And before the servant can come and finish talking, someone else comes and gives him some more negative information. Till finally, his children were killed in like a hurricane, praise God, or something of that nature, praise God, or tornado, praise God. And all 10 of his children were killed. And when he finally got that message, after losing all of his material possessions, instead of him, praise God, cursing God, he fell on his knees and began to worship. That's because he had a love within him for God. Then the second chapter of Job, you find the devil talking to God again. He said, now what do you think about it? He said, well, you didn't let me touch him. If I touch him, I can make him curse you to your face. He said, okay, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. Can you imagine, praise God, going to bed well and waking up with sores from the top of your head all the way to the bottom of your feet? And the only way to get any kind of relief, you got to sit somewhere in ashes and just to kind of scrape yourself to get some relief. And then his wife, who had been through so much because her losing all that she had along with the children, she looks at him and realizes, I can't do anything to help you, tells him, you might as well curse God and die. He looks at her, honey, and says, sweetheart, I'm just saying the way I want to say it, you don't talk like my wife. You talk like a foolish woman. You talk like somebody who hasn't had a relationship with God. Should we have all the blessings of God and never go through anything? So that was the end. That's the second chapter of Job. There's 42 chapters in the book of Job. You don't hear anything from the devil after the second chapter. So what's God doing? I remember when I first got saved, and I'm going to close on this. When I first got saved, I read that. I said, oh, my goodness. How in the world is this right? God, you testifying about how the man is an upright man, he's good, and you let all this stuff happen to him? And yet he doesn't turn away from you. But the thing that God showed me, and it wasn't like I saw it that month or that year even. It was a couple years before I finally got the full revelation of it. And I saw it for the impact that God was doing with Job. He let me know everything that God lets you go through will not always be pleasant. But in the midst of it, he's with you. And he's the only one keeping you, praise God, from losing your mind. He's the only one that's keeping you, praise God, together, so to speak. And many times you want to fall apart, but he's helping you to stay together, praise God, because you have to learn how to say things, praise God, properly. He said that, guess what? even though the skin worms, praise God, they might destroy my body. But I know my God will always be with me. He had to confess positively in the midst of the negativity. No matter what's going on, I do know God loves me. I know he's concerned about what concerns me. And what he ultimately was doing is what the Lord finally showed me. What he ultimately was doing was taking Job to another dimension in him to let him know it's not just when you have blessings that I'm with you. I'm with you when everything's going wrong. I'm with you when you thought that was going to work out and it didn't. I'm with you when you thought that was going to work out and it didn't. This situation you thought was going to work out. This friend you thought would be with you forever. Praise God. This person you thought had your back. Praise God. And they turned against you. Praise God. He wants you to know in the midst of all that, his love is greater. And he's with you whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through. He's got your back. Praise God. He took him to another level. And finally, Job was so frustrated, even his friends, who was supposed to man, you know, saved, praise God, and full of the anointing and wisdom of God, they came with their own understanding. So we've never seen God do this. So Job, you must have done something wrong. Job said, well, I don't know what I did wrong. Well, you did something. Confess. God will get you out of the situation. But he hadn't done anything wrong. And at the end, when he finally talked to God, had to get an audience with God, and God brought him to that place. There's nothing wrong with crying out to God and say, God, I just don't get it. I don't understand. Why are you letting so much stuff happen to me? When he finally got to that place, praise God, and God, before he spoke to him, or before he allowed him to really continue to speak to God, God said, first of all, who are you? Where were you when I created this whole universe? Where were you at? And Job said, I don't know where I was at. I don't even remember anything about it. He said, well, you were there with me. You were in my conscience already then. And he let him know, praise God, that before you speak, understand who I am. Understand my authority. And Job finally said, and I won't go through the whole thing, but Job finally said, Lord, I put my hand over my mouth. I'm sorry that I even spoke. And God said, now I can deal with you. So he's waiting on us to be humble. Praise God. You think you know everything? No, you don't. You think you're aware of everything? No, you're not. You think you're the greatest person in the world, anointed like nobody else? No, you're not. And finally, when he said that, God said, okay, I can deal with you now. Then he told him, I didn't tell your friends to tell you anything. And it's up to you to what I do to them. God said, just forgive them. I'm letting them go. And then God said, I'm going to give you more than he ever had. Gave him double what he had. And then gave him 10 more children. Now, I don't think he gave him a new wife. I don't believe he did. I think he had the same woman. Didn't say anything about another woman. But he got, praise God, everything twice for what he had. Why? Because God was taking him to a new dimension. I want you to know something, praise God. Whoever I'm talking to, maybe might be someone, praise God, listening to us, praise God, by the way of Facebook, praise God, YouTube, praise God, might be right here. But guess what? Whatever you've been challenged with, the only reason it's happening to you is God is taking you to a new dimension in him. Just continue to give him praise. In the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your pain, no matter how you feel, understand. He's only taking you to another level in him. Praise God. All right, let's clap our hands and give God some praise. Glory to God. Somebody say, the power of love. All right, I'm through. Well, at least I'm quitting. I never get through, but I'm quitting. Praise God.